Blog Talk Radio.
You miss me? I miss all of y'all. Hey. All y'all girls standing together like that. I can't take it.
Family, thank you for tuning in. I'm Ashley Goodman, and this is BYGP Locker Room Show. Tonight, I'm very excited to be talking with Mr. Cosey Coleman. Cosey was an offensive guard who played 7 seasons in the NFL with Tampa Bay and Cleveland. Some accomplishments and awards over his football career consist of being USA Today High School All-American in 96, BCS National Championship, winning that with University of Tennessee in 98, first team All-SEC in 98 and 99, consensus All-American in 99, has won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, Super Bowl 37, and was drafted in 2000 in the second round, number 37 by Tampa Bay. So we are definitely looking forward to this show. Guys, if you want to call in and get your questions in, the number is 310-807-5195. So call in if you do have any questions. Cosey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Ashley, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Blessed. Glad to be a part of the show.
Absolutely. We are, you know, ecstatic to have you on. There's very few guys that, you know, have your resume and what you've accomplished. You know, even great players haven't accomplished both winning a national championship and a Super Bowl. What does that mean, you know, now that you're retired, your playing days are you know, done, but looking back, how does that make you feel?
I feel very good, very pleased with those accomplishments. You know, it's a team game, and ultimately those are the highest accomplishments on each individual level. The, you know, the national championship, we went 13-0 at Tennessee, which was in the SEC. That was unheard of, just running the table, and we did that. And I actually thought there could be no bigger or better feeling than that. And what do you know, I was fortunate enough to be a part of the 2002, you know, Tampa Bay run where we went 12-4, which is a pretty good record in the National Football League as well.
So then tell us, Cosey, a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up?
Well, I'm originally from New Orleans. I'm born in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I actually split my childhood between New Orleans and Decatur, Georgia, Clarkston to be exact, a little small town on the outside of Atlanta called Clarkston. And we've moved back and forth a lot, to be honest with you, between New Orleans and Clarkston, but ended up settling in Clarkston, Georgia in 91 when I was about 12 years old in middle school, 7th grade.
So then when did you start playing football?
Shortly thereafter. That was 7th grade. I started playing football in high school 2 years later. Really, it was technically middle school. I had an odd situation, but I'm in the 8th grade. That was my first year playing organized team football with the pads on, and everything else prior to that was just in the neighborhood, playing in the streets, playing at the park, football and basketball. recreational.
Yeah. So as a kid, you know, as an athlete, who was your role models growing up?
Now, what type of role models? First and foremost,
they could be off the field, it could be on the field.
Well, the closest person to me, to be honest with you, my mom was a big influence on me. And, you know, I would have to say she was the most immediate role model and shaper of my character, just being a Southern Christian black woman. Very strong personality, but a lot of good qualities and good morals and good values, and she instilled those, and really just watching her be a single parent. I'm the youngest of six boys. So I have older brothers, and she had me so late. There's a 14-year gap between me and my next brother, so it was like I was raised as an only child. And she was a single parent, and, you know, she just did that. Big ups to her for raising me and allowing me to develop, and for some of her ways to rub off on me.
Absolutely. Who actually got you involved with football then?
I was actually so big that with my size, they just immediately came calling. You know, they had been asking me prior to middle school, but I was always too big to play at the parks. I mean, I was a big kid growing up, naturally just big, and you know, it's funny, just blessed for the game. I was a big kid who could move and who could run, and that was developed just in my inner city neighborhood. But the coaches was always asking me to come out and play even before I was able to play. Because of my size, because of being, you know, unable to play at the park. So as soon as I got to high school, middle school, high school, they was like, yeah, the locker room is that away. It's pointing me in the right direction.
So did football come easy to you, or did you, you know, somewhat struggle at first?
You know what? Not to be cocky in any kind of way, but it really... You know, it came easy to me in some ways and difficult in others. You know what I mean? I had a natural knack for the game. It had natural ability that was suited for football, size, height, athletic ability. And
uh-huh.
But it's still just with the game, you always, anything you do, you need a teacher, somebody that's going to develop you and shape you and mold you. And I think back. And it's just something for a lot of young kids. You kind of walk out of high school being on a certain level with sports and football. And for the most part, your athletic talents and your athletic build is what gets you a scholarship. You know what I mean? Your productivity, too. Let me not dismiss that. But, you know, as one of my good friends, I say you got to pass the eye test, you know,
mm-hmm.
to really be attractive to Division I colleges. And not definitely as a youngster, you know, I passed the eye test, you know, and I actually lost my train of thought with where I was going with that statement. I was getting lost.
Well, I'm sure you'll have plenty more of you know, pointers to give young guys. But when you were going through this process, and like you said, you passed the eye test, coaches were always on you to get on the field. When did it start sinking in for you that maybe you'd want to play at the next level, at the college level?
You know, it was always something that you know, as little kids, they ask you, hey, what you want to be when you grow up? You'll say, you know, amongst saying doctors and lawyers and firefighters, one
mm-hmm.
of the catchphrases was, hey, I want to play in the NFL. So it was always a thought, just like in sports. You know, I actually wanted to play in the NBA, probably even more so. And the reason being, you know, I got stuck on the offensive line playing football, and you know, I liked to shoot and be a part of the game, and we wanted to catch some passes and stuff like that. And that was never my calling with football. But in basketball, you could actually dribble. Everybody got a chance to dribble, shoot, pass, and so on and so forth. But my body was suited for football. And you know, once I started playing on the high school level, because the seniors, every year you have seniors that are going off to college. For me, that started lining my wheels to start turning like, hey, it's potential to do this on the next level. Now, was it realistically that was it like a realistic thought to go to the NFL? Not at all. But early on, it was an ambition. It was a motivator.
What do you think, you know, as a young kid, yes, you said, you know, the idea of going to the NFL was always with you. What would you have, you know, wanted to do if the NFL didn't pan out?
I'm sorry, say it again. What did I want to do when?
What would you do, you know, if you didn't go pro, if the NFL dream didn't pan out? What would you
do? I always stress academics. I should say my mother did. So, you know, I was never no slouch in the classroom. I necessarily didn't have it panned out, but I definitely would have strived. And my game plan started in high school. I started identifying with getting at least a college scholarship early. As early as like 9th or 10th grade, that started becoming, it was like a outlook. And I was like, okay, this is, these coaches starting to like me. Everybody talking good. This is a real possibility. And you know, as far as going to college, that was always a realistic outlook. If the league didn't pan out, you know, it's been about really getting my network on in, at the collegiate level and putting my degree to the test in some shape, some form, or fashion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like
so
a
then,
lot of...
I mean, okay. What did you actually major in?
I majored in urban studies.
Okay. So you were pushed, you know, education was a factor with your family, with your mother. Now, you were getting attention on the field. I mean, you were named High School All-American by USA Today. Did that national attention change how people treated you, or added pressure to yourself that you know, before this, you know, attention, did it give you?
I don't know if did it just that accomplishment per se. You know, I had got a lot of other accomplishment on a smaller local level, so my name was already ringing, if you would, in my backyard. You know, so that kind of, you know, that first of all, that was one of to this day, that's one of my most prized accomplishments, because I remember being just so excited of making that. And like I said, you know, just from being like all county and all state, all that on a local level, just in my little nest of the woods in Georgia, you know, locally on the football level, I was already having a buzz, if you would, and even on the recruiting level. So I'm not going to say it didn't affect things, but not necessarily to what I could see. I was already buzzing a little bit by the time that came out, you know.
So it didn't change too much for you just because you were already kind of used to the attention and people knowing who you were.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I was super proud and super thrilled because I knew what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like I was all of a sudden a celebrity and people start, you know what I mean? Still was high school football, so people that was in two high school football, everybody knew who I was from that standpoint. I mean, I could say this. I mean, I was probably the biggest name in my area at the time, one of the biggest names. Jamal Lewis came out the same year that I did. We actually played against each other. He was a pretty big name, too. We both ended up going to Tennessee. But, you know, we both were big names in our own right on a local level and on a national level.
Cozy, tell us about the recruiting process, and that's always an adventure, you know, for athletes. But did you feel like you were prepared for that process, and how did your recruiting trips go?
Well, being prepared, the answer to that is no. I didn't have any family members or anyone I had really knew close and personally that had experienced that. And then on the level, not just being recruited and getting attention from college, but I was a legit blue-chip player. College were literally like going after me. It was crazy. It was very overwhelming. And I didn't really have any clue what was ahead, you know, and not just me, my family. We just had no experience with that. But we got through it, and it was actually it was joyous. It was very exciting. It got very annoying at times. You literally had to get like mean and put your foot down with different college coaches and just them calling you and give them a schedule of when they could call and all of that type stuff. But at the same time, it was thrilling to get that much attention, not just for me, for my entire family.
Right, of course. I mean, because you said you grew up with you know, being the baby of the family and having your mom. I'm sure they were all super excited for you. Tell us how your recruiting trip to Tennessee went. How did they make you feel special?
Well, first of all, Tennessee was my last recruiting visit. I visited LSU, Georgia Tech, Florida, North Carolina, and Tennessee was my very last. All those schools were very good schools and were highly considered by me, and it was tough. It was tough. They all had attributes. I actually committed to North Carolina on my fourth visit when Mac Brown was the head coach, and they had a real good program and was on the right track, and my visit to Tennessee, it wasn't my most exciting visit. Although I did have a good time. It just on my visit to Tennessee, I felt the most at home in that environment. You know, I had it was a little bit more, as the youngsters say, it was a little bit more turned up at a couple other locations, but I did have a level head. I did understand that it was football, academics first, but then football right behind that is four of my priorities while I was going to college. So it wasn't like, okay, where is the most fun? What is the most? It was academics and really football. What football environment going to be most suitable for me to go in and, you know what I mean, be productive and be challenged and be able to contribute.
And I'm so glad that you brought that up because, you know, I was going to ask you some advice that you would give young players when they're, you know, attending their recruiting trips. And I think you stated it perfectly clear that you were on a mission. You knew exactly what you were going there for. Which is very important, and you knew that academics was first priority on the list and coming second, very close second, was football. So you already had that business mindset going in.
Yeah, the thing about it is on that level, football is so competitive, and it's some other things. You know, like Tennessee was only 3 hours from Atlanta, which is where I live, my family, very convenient, really was the – outside of Georgia Tech, which was my least considered school. Tennessee was the closest out of Florida, North Carolina, LSU. So very close proximity, and being in college, away from home, dealing with adversity, all those things are real challenges and real factors in your college experience. And most of all, this game of football you're playing, you finna get introduced to it on a high intensity level. College football is high intensity, from the workouts, the training, the practice, the competition. You got a whole bunch of other yous out there. Use Big Willie at your high school. Use the man. You know what I mean? In some capacity to even get a collegiate scholarship. You was doing something at your school. Now you get to a collegiate environment, and now you got a whole bunch of guys on the team that was all doing something at their school.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you handle that socially and competitively, there's a bunch of young men. So, you know, all that's important in your decision-making and how you respond to those environments are important to how successful your collegiate experience be. Because it's best time of your life, fun, but you got to be wired in and understand why you're there and to be competitive and successful, you got to have your head screwed on straight, because there's a whole bunch of other guys that want the same thing that you want.
Yeah, and that's some great points right there. I mean, and like you said, you know, at that level, everyone is the top of the heap coming into there. So what did you expect, you know, going into your freshman year? Did you expect seeing a lot of playing time? Was that on the table when they were recruiting you? Or was that, I mean, because you ended up playing quite a bit your freshman year. Was that surprising to you, or did you already think you were already going to be, you know, starting as much as you did?
I mean, I was competitive as hell, so it was definitely something I hoped for. I mean, every college I visit, I talk to them about that, and that was, I mean, definitely it wasn't something they could promise you, but, you know, I kind of wanted to know what are the chances, what are the odds of me coming in and competing and getting a chance to play. And so we had spoke about it, but the thing about it, I was actually recruited as a defensive lineman.
Oh.
Tennessee, exactly. Tennessee sold me a whole bunch of dreams. I made USA Today All-American as a defensive lineman. So I played defense for about the first week of practice at Tennessee before I was kind of offered the opportunity to move over to offense. And I say offered, they didn't twist my arm, didn't make me. The kind of coach called me in and presented, you know, a scenario to me and, you know, pretty much the opportunity to come be second team right tackle with the opportunity to compete and possibly play
uh-huh.
on the offensive side of the ball. And whereas on the defensive side, I was like a fish out of water over there. Everything was moving fast. I'm not going to say that I couldn't have played it, but I didn't like in about four or five practices on the Division I level, I didn't like the way things was looking.
Mm-hmm.
And the offensive side of the ball just began to look interesting to me. You with me? I was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, when they offered
absolutely.
It to me, I could have been stubborn and could have been like, well, no, I'm going to stay over here and this, that, and other. But I did play offense in high school, so I was, you know. And I'm saying that to say I came in as a defensive tackle, and I ended up playing offensive tackle, and that's college football for you. You know, when I speak to young kids, I try to let them know you can't get hell-bent on positions. You just got to go in ready to ball. Because the truth of the matter is you're just now really finna get introduced to, A, the real game from a training and physical standpoint, and also from a teaching standpoint. You're finna really get coached up now how to play this game on a different level than what you have been.
Mm-hmm. So you took that opportunity and you ran with it and it was successful. Did you, you know, have anyone kind of mentoring you within that transition period, or was that just something that you took upon yourself and you said, you know, I want to be on the field and this was your chance and your opportunity?
I promise I just took it upon myself. I always took the game very seriously. It's football, it's competition. There's a lot of battles within the big battle. And I just always took pride in doing my job and actually enjoy the competition, enjoy being in the big moments, and I just always took it super seriously, man. And like I said, never belittle the fact that I was blessed with size and natural attributes that was suited for the game.
So then tell us, Cozy, you were actually a freshman when Peyton Manning was there. Tell us how that experience for you playing you know, and working with him. How was his work ethic, and what did you gain from him?
Even back then, you know, he was the natural leader, the ready professional. Even on that level, I was just a puppy. I was running around like a deer in the headlights, not knowing my left from my right. Things were moving very, very fast for me out there that first year of college. So I was in survival mode. And I don't know if Peyton made things easy or more complex, because he had his playbook was my first year, our playbook was probably more wide open having Peyton there. And then my next 2 years with T. Martin as quarterback, we actually condensed things some. So things actually got a little simpler as I got older. The first year it was like, it was, you know, I just had so much. I'm trying to catch up to the speed of the game, deal with the competition of just coming from playing against high schools to going against pretty much grown men. And then I got a gang of plays that could be called upon at any given time because of Peyton capabilities. You know, the average quarterback goes to the line and has a play that they're calling ready break. That's what the team is running. But with Peyton at the helm, at a young age, you know, for me, he had the green light to change it to any play he wanted to.
Oh, wow.
Which was confusing.
So he already back then was pretty much able to change plays.
Exactly. Even in college, exactly. That's nothing new. We was doing that in college. Exactly. And I'm sure it was always he didn't have full control of the offense like he has now in the NFL.
Yeah.
But that was the beginning. That was back then. That was the beginning. Because he was so advanced as a quarterback, as a coach, you always was able to put more on his plate, give him more responsibility. And that's when you see Peyton today, that's all you know. You just see him being able to handle and process more information than most of his peers, if not all of them. I mean, no one else is executing and running offenses like he's doing, but it started way back then in college.
So then with that experience, you said that as you went through the process, as you got older, offense got a lot simpler within your process. Did you think from your freshman year to your sophomore year there was a big transition? Because you guys did have the opportunity to win a national championship your freshman year, but you actually won it your sophomore year. What was the biggest change between those two, those years?
We had a lot of talent. We had a lot of talent. And, I mean, like you said, we had opportunity my freshman year, and that was with a lot of young talent playing. I mean, we had some good older talent, Peyton Manning, Leonard Little, Marcus Nash, guys like that. But we had just a lot of young talent on the back end. So we didn't, you know, after losing the good players we lost, we didn't miss a beat because we had so many young players and then brought in more the next year, which is the year we won it in 98, after Peyton and them left. You know, that next year we had like Dante Stallworth came and we brought a couple of more linemen. I think John Henderson came in that next year. And, you know, we just restocked. And, you know, the competition was still tough. We was always on the brink. That was a big reason why I went to Tennessee. The hurdle in Tennessee way was Florida. It was coming down to one game every year where they was on the outside of things or either on the inside of things, you know. And that was, you know, it's a sad day right now because we've fallen off. But at that time, Tennessee football was like top in the country. I want to say like top three, top five programs. Tennessee, Florida, Nebraska. I can't even, you know what I mean, from other conferences, I'm trying to think. But those three, like year in and year out, Texas, you know, but, yeah, it didn't get easier. I mean, as you play the game naturally gets easier. As you get older, you're getting better.
Yeah.
But we were just loaded with talent. We, you know, Mm-hmm. I guess in a sense it does, because the talent is maturing. Mm-hmm. We're getting better. Mm-hmm. You know, we were one game away from the national my freshman mm-hmm. year.
So then, you know? Chrissy, tell me about this. You had pretty much a solid college career, and pretty much you went in your junior year, and it was a solid year. Did you know that this was pretty much, you know, your ticket out, that you were going to leave school early to go into the NFL draft? And when did you make that decision?
I didn't make it to the very last minute. It was long drawn out. It was actually a few of us that came. It was five of us, five underclassmen at Tennessee that left school early, three true juniors, the two propositional players who had gained the eligibility back, so they had a choice whether they could have stayed or left. And all five of us ended up leaving, and I probably was the last one to actually decide and make an announcement, because
mm-hmm.
I didn't know. And what I mean by didn't know, just how we're trying to just give something back to younger players, I didn't have enough information to really make a sound decision. You know, and it was some, you know, I tapped into some resources and gathered some information. And as you stated at the beginning, I was, you know, second round pick of the Bucks, 51 overall. That was 50 paces for me to move up in the draft had I stayed another year. So I definitely mm-hmm. anticipated myself being a first rounder coming out of school early. A lot of mock drafts and a lot of polls had me rated the number one guard, which I was. I just came out in a draft that was loaded with tackles. They took a gang of tackles, and that's what I mean about didn't really just understand how to draft and how a lot of things work.
Yeah.
To really capitalize on my situation. And again, 51 overall. That's 50 opportunities to move up and get better, to crack that top 30 or even that top 10.
What would you say, what advice would you tell young guys, you know, who may be having that dream of playing pro ball one day, and maybe in their thought process leaving school early? What should they really, really consider when making that decision?
I mean, first of all, every situation is different as far as everybody's background and home front situation. I think
Absolutely.
That should be considered first and foremost, what you're dealing with from a home front and just what's going on in your personal life. But from a football standpoint and academic standpoint, you know, it's one of them things, if you're a sure high draft pick, and it's hard to really completely be sure, but if you're a sure high draft pick, then
mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with guys leaving and coming out early. You know, times are changing. Times are definitely changing. Probably when I first left school, I would have definitely been offered staying in school and this, that, and other. But the thing about sports, I played 7 years in the NFL, and really after four years is when I first thought, was when I first took note that my body was breaking down.
Mhm.
You know. So.
Was that the kind of the process of, you know, after that fourth year, did you start thinking that what am I going to do after, you know, I'm done playing ball?
Well, that was always. You see how my mind works, just being that was always on my mind as far as life after and managing money and just looking at the big picture. That
mm-hmm.
that's something that just me as a person I try to do, look at the big picture and not just get caught up in the moment. So definitely. But it was prior to my fourth year. That's just an example of not for long. You don't know how long you have to play the game. So, you know, talking to young kids, you got to when bright light is on you and you're in the moment, you got to go for what you can go for. You know, you just don't know how long you're afforded the opportunity to play this game. So if you're hot, you're looking like a top draft pick, go for that. If you have room to go back to school to get better and complete your education, go that route, because there's nothing wrong with getting better and boosting your stock. You feel me? That's only a good thing. Only come out and peek your head out into that draft if you're for certain you're looking to be you know what I mean? If it's questionable, that was my case. It was questionable. I wasn't a for certain first round draft pick. I was a possibility. I wouldn't go off a possibility.
Yeah.
Because it's too much money at stake. And when one more year of ball, if you're college material, I mean NFL material, one more year of college only is gonna let you to get better. That's like practice, you know.
Absolutely,
that
can't
hurt you. Well, that can't hurt you in the least bit.
And I totally agree with you that you know, even when you think you're a high draft pick, that there is definitely not a certain you know scenario in that, because things change within that process. I mean, Menzel's a perfect scenario within that. Everyone was thinking, you know, he would never go where he went. But, I mean, everything does happen for a reason, and it seemed like, you know, your career definitely panned out. Tell us about, you know, you are one of the athletes that are, there's only a handful of guys who have gotten that opportunity to win a national championship and a Super Bowl ring. What else would you have loved to accomplish that you didn't get a chance to?
I would love to go to Hawaii. I would love to go play in the Pro Bowl.
To the Pro Bowl,
and the reason being, I just took the game that serious. I mean, I wanted to be an All-American in high school. I wanted to be an All-American in college. I wanted to be an All-Pro. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Those things I don't think just happen by chance. And but like I said, my body started breaking down before I really built up my resume to accomplish that you know those goals. Okay. NFL is a little bit more political than other levels of playing ball. As far as you know, obviously if you're a first round draft pick, you get a little bit more publicity, a little bit more notoriety. As far as just, you know, being Pro Bowl, it's just a little bit more political. But that's definitely one of my goals. And even the Hall of Fame, I actually just recently went when Derrick Brooks, one of my teammates, got inducted in Canton, and I was up there, and I appreciated that because I appreciated football and took it that seriously that I would have loved to see myself be up on that, you know what I mean, up on that panel on the stage with the yellow jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Because I took it that seriously, you feel me? I'm not disappointed that I didn't. I don't even know if that's something you could literally really shoot for, the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But just knowing how seriously I took the game and also appreciated the game, I would imagine that to be the ultimate accomplishment of any football player, even bigger than the Super Bowl,
being
the Hall of Fame inductee.
So, Cluk, I'm gonna ask you a couple more questions and I'll let you go, but I definitely appreciate you coming on and speaking with me and our audience. You know, with everything going off and going on off the field media-wise with the attention of players getting into situations, what's your thought process? Has that always been you know, issues with players, or do you think the media just enhances it now?
That ain't discovery right now. The media, it's a media frenzy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the technology. It's hard on anybody to step outside the white lines of any fraction. So, you know, it's twofold. Things have always been a behind the scenes. There's a behind the scenes to all aspects of life, but the technology makes it very, very hard to get away with stuff that you know people was once able to get away with.
And what would your advice be for young guys with, you know, social media and, you know, Twitter and Facebook and everything of that nature?
It's twofold. I don't think any of those things are bad. You just got to be cautious when dealing with them. You know, you're targeted in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest thing. You know, you don't want to allow yourself to be vulnerable through any of those sectors. You know, I don't think any of those individually are bad in no kind of way, but you know, everybody know who you are, know how much money you're making, and you know, it's just a thing for trouble. And Twitter and just some of those outlets, you know, it's like everybody has a microphone to say what they want to say and speak their mind, and that's not always the best thing either, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just as an athlete, a notable person, just speaking your mind, there's reporters out there, there's people that's looking for sound bites and looking for I guess text bites in the technology world, to plaster you with, to be like, oh, he said this, he that, and to throw you under the bus any kind of way that they can.
Well, yeah, they want that story, and they want the juicy, you know, details of everything that goes on. So that definitely does help out just young guys make sure that you think twice about what you're posting and everything of that nature. I'm going to end with this last question, Toasty. If one thing you could tell a young Toasty, what would that be? And it can be anything, you know, off the field, on the field. What advice would you give a young guy?
Stay humble. Stay humble. Keep your priorities in order, but understand the importance and value of humility. You know, not getting a big head in any aspect of life. Not forgetting where you come from, and remembering the journey or the path of, you know, whatever it took to get you where you're at or where you're trying to get to. You know, it's about the journey, it's about the ride, it's about the experience, and it's about just staying humble in the face of it all. You know, success kind of comes into all of our lives at different points. You think back some experience it in high school, in peak, they was the most popular kid, and this, that, you know. Some collegiately, some you know, young adults, some later in life. But whenever it comes your way, just be ready to handle it and be humble and appreciative to, you know, to your daily blessings.
I love that. That is a great way to end this. Toasty, thank you so much for coming on, and you are always welcome to come on and speak with me and our audience. It was fantastic to talk with you.
Anytime, Ashley, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Good. So have a good night.
All right, you too.
Guys, we hope, you know, Mr. Coleman and bringing him on was helpful to you, and it felt like, you know, his input and his advice would help your process along your football journey and your life journey. We definitely have some great things going on with BYGP. We are always growing and always things going on. Check us out on our Facebook page, Before You Go Pro, for any updates. And if you've not gotten our book, you definitely need to check that out and read up. It's a great tool for you guys, parents and athletes. You want to definitely tune in this Thursday. We have a great guest, Gary Jeter. Mr. Jeter played defensive end at USC, and he was drafted in 1977. I know that sounds a little old, but he has some great input and some fantastic advice for you guys and just the process, how football has evolved today and how much of a business this is. So he has some great input for you guys. You definitely want to tune in. That starts at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. Don't miss out. This is Ashley Goodman signing off for BYGP and the rest of the BYGP team. Have a good night, guys.
You miss me? I miss all of y'all.